Jim K. Ford Sends Nation podcast with Steve Warren and the coach, Greg Kennedy.
Right then, welcome to another episode of the Jim K. Ford Sends Nation podcast. And it seemed like every episode we're either talking about a slump or a streak or a run or a skid. Well, Jekyll has given way to Hyde and then back to Jekyll again. The Sens have won two in a row, wins over the Devils and Oilers. What is new, though, is Jonas Korpisalo earning his keep with a couple of nice victories. Hey, why don't goalies play back-to-back more frequently? Like back in the day, guys would be playing 77, 78 games a year. What's gone on here? We'll talk about Drake Batherson and Angus Cruikshank. We're both trending hard and upward. Sens fans get Connor and Connor back-to-back. And what has Jacques Martin won out of the last 12 games? That and more coming up today here on the program. It is Steve Warren, along with the coach, Greg Kennedy. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, Stephen. Thank you for asking. I hope you're well as well. Fine day in the city of Ottawa.
Indeed it is. Yeah, I thought you were going to bring up the fact that a cat ran over my face here for our video viewers. But appreciate that. I do appreciate that. Busy in this neck of the woods. We're building a sunroom. I just got the final bill for the sunroom construction. Let me just throw it out there here on the podcast that if any great contractors in the city of Ottawa want to participate in our sunroom construction, please look me up. Shameless right out of the gate. I'm sorry. Sens Nation podcast at outlook.com. Let's get to the Sens though. Let's get to what's going on here. I know you never know what to expect from the Senators.
Yes, you do.
You expect inconsistency. You expect the unexpected, don't you?
Yeah. You expect a 3-game streak where they're on fire, and then you expect them to lose 2 or 3 or 4 in a row, including some against teams they should beat. And then you expect them to come back and win games against teams they shouldn't probably be beating, and 2 or 3 wins in a row. That's just the way they are, Steve. They're going to win their next one, and they're going to drop another 4 in a row or something. It's just the way it is.
It is just the way it is, it seems. Yeah, wins, as I mentioned, over the Devils and then the Oilers. But there's a bit of good news in there, and that Jonas Korpisalo. Are you a Jonas guy or a Jonas guy?
It's Jonas, isn't it?
Well, I keep hearing Jonas lately. Jonas Korpisalo. I'm like, Jonas? That sounds like a female name, like starting with E-U. E-U-N-I-C-E. That's what I think when I hear Jonas. But anyway, that's fine.
Carol Burnett character on that Family Show. That was Jonas.
I think you may be right. But yeah. We've had Mary, and it's okay. It's all good.
Yeah. But
Jonas Korpisalo played pretty well, to the point where Jacques Martin decided to go with him in back-to-back days, and it worked out nicely because he was probably the difference in a game against the Oilers where they end up winning 5-3 and they were outshot in the game 36-16. I mean, a couple of games is not going to turn my opinion of Jonas Korpisalo around overnight, but that's at least something.
Yeah, it's surprising, as you mentioned, an Ottawa goaltender to start 2 in a row doesn't happen very often unless it's an injury situation or there's been a gap between games sometimes. Back-to-back, same goalie, that's rare in the NHL. It's certainly rare in Ottawa. I have no problem with it. If he played very well in New Jersey, or well enough anyway, and deserves another start, and I'm not a Forsberg fan, as you know, and you're playing against a good team in Edmonton, why not? If he's the number one, or he's the guy that thinks that gives you the best chance to win, then yeah, he should start the game.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. You kind of judge it on the circumstances and all that, but I don't know why it's almost taboo. Like, when he got to start that second game, people were really raising an eyebrow about it. And I'm like, that's kind of the way it used to be. That seemed like for about 15 years in a row, Marty Brodeur started 70-plus games. I think he tapped out at 77 at least a couple of times. So, obviously, in there, there'd be a few, back-to-back days that he played. I don't look at it in terms of the position being that much more strenuous than maybe a defenseman who plays 30 games a night skating around out there. Maybe a little harder. I don't know, but I've never played the position, but I don't think that's a factor. But I think in general, when it comes to giving your goalie a chance to have a night off, that it will limit the possibility that he gets hurt, you know, a little more recovery time. It's no guarantee of anything, but slightly gives you a better chance not being injured. And honestly, it can kill a team. Like your starting quarterback, you lose a great starting goalie. That's a big problem. For this duo in Ottawa, I'm not sure it's that huge a problem. So I didn't have a huge problem with it from that perspective. And there'll be people who say, based on the analytics, and I think that that is true, that in back-to-back cases, the goalie chances the goalie will lose are higher. Like you're tired. You're not going to be as good in that second game, and they tend to just not be as successful. And I would wonder about that, because if you look at the study of that particular stat, you don't know what would have happened if you put your backup in that game and not gone with a back-to-back scenario. So unless you're living in a parallel universe, the guy, the backup, if you decided to start him instead, he might have done worse. And so I'm not sure I buy that stat necessarily, because the entire team just played a back-to-back as well. And so they may have, no matter who the goalie was, left that goalie out to dry because they just didn't have it that night because they were tired.
And that leaves you with the decision now of who plays the next game, right? Like, what do you do now? That guy's played well. He's hot, I guess. Does he get the start against Chicago? I'd start him. I'd play him again. Why not ride him for a couple more? Or ride him till, like, how about you're in, you win, you stay in. You know, why not try that for a little while? You know, or if you lose in a tight game, you still get to start the next one. But hey, if you win, you're in. Leave him in there. Why not? He's had a couple days rest now. He'll be ready to go to tomorrow night, is it?
Yeah.
Or is it Thursday?
Against Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo.
They're taking on Buffalo. They're in Buffalo on Wednesday, and so that'll be the question as to whether they go back to a back-to-back situation against Chicago here at the Canadian Tire Center on Thursday. And Jacques Martin didn't rule it out. He said Korpisalo is going in Buffalo, and then we'll see what happens on Thursday.
Exactly.
You think right away, if that was problematic, so problematic. But Jacques is old school as they come, and he was around during the Marty Brodeur days, and in fact, Brodeur gave him fits on a number of occasions. So I'm sure that he doesn't have a big problem with it. And again, I don't think I think it's good practice, but I certainly don't think it is something that needs to be as apparently taboo as it is. I threw it out there on Twitter, and I got a lot of hard pushback on it, like as though it was an automatic loss and the goalie's leg was going to fall off if you try and go in consecutive days. It's not that. I think over the long haul, sure. Yeah, you probably come out and you maybe have a slightly better winning percentage. I don't know. But I certainly don't think it needs to be as strict a coaching strategy as some make out.
But Jacques was also, let's not forget, a tandem guy. He had Damien Rhodes and Ron Tugnutt basically playing tandem there for a couple seasons. But then when it was Lalime's time, Lalime was the guy. And here's the other one that always bugs me. How come it's okay in the playoffs for the same goalie to play? Now, it's not back-to-back nights, but you've got most Stanley Cup champions have one guy and they ride him through the whole playoffs. The other guy gets he might come in for a third period one night on a game they lose or they're losing or something. But generally speaking, most NHL teams go with one goaltender through the playoffs. Why can't you just play the same guy, I don't know, 75% of the time? What's the big deal?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But back-to-back shouldn't be confused with, back-to-back days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Two straight games over 3 days, not that big a deal. But that's the discussion about back-to-back days.
Yeah.
And anyway, they decided to go with it, and it worked. And not only did it work, it might have been Korpisalo's finest performance. So maybe that's a guy that thrives with heavy work. And maybe that's what Jacques Martin's going to experiment. Maybe this is a workhorse here. We can't just be spelling him every second game. He needs to get into a groove and might as well try it. Although the Tank Nation would probably say, no, this is not when I want to see Korpisalo get hot. I wanted to see that in November. So anyway, moving on. A couple of other things we want to get to here. Like I say, the Devils and the Oilers, they were victors over both of those clubs. And I think they were fortunate, honestly, to get by the Oilers, to get outshot 36-16. Yikes. But that is a goaltending performance they have not often gotten. And they had timely scoring as well. Like Drake Batherson, third man in here on the program. And he's going to come on Monday of next week, by the way. I just talked to him today. And he is on a roll. Like, and people were talking to Jacques Martin at practice today about, improvements in defense. And that may well be true. But to me, what's been really noticeable about Drake Batherson has been more his offensive swagger with the puck. I mean, he's always been pretty good in that area, you know, in varying degrees. But of late, he has been fantastic with the poise, the confidence, the drive that he has with the puck. That's been the biggest improvement that I've seen. What have you thought?
I agree with you, Steve. He's always been the guy's a dangler, right? He's very imaginative. He's great with the puck. He makes some, always makes some nice sweet passes. He loves the applesauce. And we saw a couple of sauces in the game against Edmonton. I'm wondering if maybe with the coaching change when that happened, if maybe Drake kind of pulled back the reins on himself to try to concentrate more on doing the right things, being on the right side of the puck and playing better defensively, and kind of shelved his offensive flair, his imagination kind of squelched that a little bit. And now he's confident without the puck. He's doing a better job. He's getting decent minutes with good line mates again. And the swagger seems to be back. And that like, he's a guy who looks like he can dangle anybody on some nights. And he certainly looked like it against Edmonton. He's got a great shot, handles the puck well, has a good imagination, has good vision, finds people at the right times. He just needed work away from the puck. And when the team didn't have the puck, and he's improved in that area too. This is a guy who was a Masters champion here a couple of years ago. He led the team in minus. Not those days anymore. He's much better, much more well-rounded hockey player. And I think his confidence is back up, his flair is back, and he's showing what he can do again.
Yeah, he just seems to lead the charge now. Like it's not just another good player on the ice. He feels it's like he's leading the charge, like almost a quarterback situation. I know that's usually reserved for the, you know, the top defenseman on a power play in terms of that terminology, but he just seems to be quarterbacking things out there a little bit. Like, I'm the guy, I'm the fulcrum. Things are going through me now. And that's great to see because, man, in the last 2 weeks anyway, he's been really deadly. And boy, he found a chemistry going on the power play with Jacob Chychrun. And you'd love to see him get some mojo going too, because he's had kind of a scuffling type of a season. Nothing like a couple of goals to help you out there. I'm going to call that Drake and Jake. Get you shake and bake, get you Drake and Jake. That was pretty good, actually. A couple of good sauce passes over to Chychrun.
When's the last time the Senators had three power play goals in a game? Like, right. When's the last time the Senators had three really good power plays in a game, let alone producing three goals off it? They looked downright deadly, and all of them were under 40 seconds. I think one of them was like 6 seconds, and one of them was about 10 seconds, and the longest one took them 38 seconds or something, I believe. They weren't just clicking on the power play. They were clicking right away, right off the bat, tic-tac-toe, good puck movement, good player movement, finding the right guy, isolating a guy on the offside on his off shot, and finding the guy at the right time, and boom, three very nice power play goals.
Attention truck enthusiasts, are you ready to experience the power, performance, and innovation of a legendary vehicle? Look no further than the 2023 Ford F-150 at Jim K. Ford. We have incredible deals and financing options tailored just for you. Visit Jim K. Ford today and experience the thrill of driving the best-selling truck in Canada, the 2023 Ford F-150. Visit us at 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans or at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Hey, if you like a nice drink with family and friends, I'd like to recommend a nice bottle of Beaver's Dram Premium Canadian Whiskey. Imagine a nice whiskey with less bite and more flavor that's soft and warm with subtle flavors of orange and dark chocolate and a hint of sherry in there too. Pick up a bottle of Seven Seals Beaver's Dram Premium Canadian Whiskey today at the LCBO or order online at DunrobinDistilleries.com. Let us get to our Dunrobin Distilleries Seven Seals Whiskey web poll. The Senators are expected to add this summer, whether it's defense, in goal, physical play, veteran leadership, I said goaltending already, or a new coach. If the Senators only addressed one area of need this summer, Greg, what should it be?
See, the problem is that every one of those affects the other one. Right. If you add veteran leadership, then I think that affects, that would affect goaltending. If you add to the defense, that affects goaltending. If you add to the, I'm running around in circles now. Let's see.
Yeah.
I say
you only have one.
I know, because I want to say all of them. But I think that if there's one that I would I be fine if nothing changed? That would be the coach. I'd be perfectly all right if they didn't change the coach. I'd like to see a change in goal, but I think that I want to see it's not necessarily veteran leadership, but it's a veteran presence. Pros, as Steve Staios said at the trade deadline, 200-foot guys who've been there before. I think two or three of those would be my number one priority, because I think that would help everything else.
I agree. I that was going to be my choice as well. I mean, I keep throwing the name Blake Coleman out there. Just guy who can drop him, a guy who can play physical, be a miserable SOB, and the guy's got, I think he's pushing 25 goals and 50 points. Been around. He's 32, so he's not too old. Still can be a mentor to this group moving forward. That's not necessarily the guy, but that's the kind of guy I'm talking about. In large, and I bring him up only because, the Calgary Flames may in fact be retooling. They purged some guys at the deadline, and so that might be a guy you'd call up and say, how much would that guy cost? But since you've already gone with that one, I'm going to go with defense then. I'm going to go just, a little more physicality on defense. So I guess I've taken two there, but you need that type of player, that stay-at-home defenseman who can complement what you already have enough of. I think they're going to have to sacrifice one of those, skill type defensemen, whether it is Thomas Chabot or Jacob Chychrun. I don't want to see Jake Sanderson go anywhere, obviously, but he hasn't proven himself yet as an NHL defenseman. I think he's going to, but he hasn't reached a level right now after this season in his second year in the NHL where I've said, okay, there, he's arrived. So I'm making the statement Chychrun or Chabot, because I still think there's a lot of room for development and improvement even in Jake Sanderson.
Yeah, I agree. I see your point there as well. We've talked about this all along, right? Giving up a little bit of what you have too much of to get a little bit of what you don't have enough of, and that being a solid stay-at-home veteran defenseman who shoots right and plays the right side naturally, that would be a great fit. But that could be a veteran leadership guy, which was the other category. There was no position attached to the veteran leadership guys. So I could see that, like one or two up front, perfect world, two forwards, one defenseman, veteran guys, don't cost a lot of money, but give you a lot of value. That's what I think is the answer here. And I think we're both on the same page, right?
Yep. If you have any suggestions, I want to get more interaction with the good listener, get more people connecting with us. We've got the web poll right there, and you can certainly connect with us anytime. Via email, sensnationpodcast@outlook.com. We do want to hear from you, and it'd be great to get your feedback and go back and forth a little bit, whether it's about the web poll or something we've said on the show or something you'd like to hear us talk about on the program. Again, sensnationhockey@outlook.com. Did you know another regular season, Greg, will end 3 weeks from today for the Ottawa Senators? It's crazy. They just blow past here. Life's blowing past. It's not just, seasons and actual seasons, winter and such. But since the season is ending 3 weeks from today, what do you think Jacques Martin wants out of the final 12 games? He talked about it a little today, talked about making improvements, talking about using this time, because there are some serious playoff contenders that are coming up in these 12 games, using this development. This is a time of year when some of these guys are playing with their hair on fire in do or die mode, getting a taste of that, even though we've been down this road before, can still be of value for these young players.
I think it's more like it's a lock it down. Okay. We've taught you all these things. We've shown you how to do things. We've laid out expectations for you. We've put certain people in certain roles that maybe weren't there before. I think it's just lock it down. Let's lock in. Play 3 weeks of solid hockey the way we're supposed to, sort of solidify an identity here. And I think the one thing that will be carried over from Jacques to whoever it is that gets hired is this idea of that this is our identity. We're a hardworking 200-foot team that plays above the puck and back checks hard, plays well in their own zone. That's what they're looking for. And I think no matter what coach comes in, he's going to carry everything over from what Jacques and Alfie and Jack Capuano have been able to put in place here over the last 2 months, I guess it's been. I think it's more like a lock it down, and find some identity and solidify that identity down the stretch.
Yeah. As you know, as a guy who, you know, has coached forever, you know, when you're dealing with younger kids, for example, you deal in progression, right? Break it down to little mini bites, you know, and let's this, if you're talking about the skating stride, okay, you put your foot here and then you go. And then when you get that down, you move on to the next step of it and just a progression as you go. And I feel like that's sort of what they could use these 12 games for. Just really break it down. It's like, I don't even care about winning games anymore. Just get your defense down. You know, don't worry about transitions up the ice. Just be in the right spot all the time. I know there's always a pressure to win. You know, the home fans always want to see a W. I get that. But I just feel like, you know, there's no pressure to win anymore. There's 12 games left. You're not going anywhere. Just break it down to the early steps of the progression and work your way through in these 12 games and really make sure that every guy, I know not everybody's going to be back, but every guy that is back this fall knows what the hell they're doing come next fall. Now, that said, the new coach could come in and muck up all the defensive systems anyway, but you see where I'm going.
Yeah. And I think the other factor in here is, what does upper management want from this team down the stretch? What kind of roster are they going to want Jacques to dress every night? Are they going to want certain players up here seeing what they can do, you know, from whether it's an Angus Cruikshank or it's I don't know, maybe Sokolov or maybe Schmeichel again. Stapchuk comes back, you know, there's other guys that maybe the organization wants to get a look at, or maybe simply wants to reward them. It's kind of tough right now because they're pretty much healthy up front. So that makes it difficult. And they have been kind of switching guys in and out. Cruikshank's looked good in the last couple of games for sure. You know, Schmeichel didn't look good before that. Really, only one game maybe, but he didn't look all that good. Most of the guys they've called up, nobody has really looked as good as a Stapchuk in that one game and now Cruikshank over the course of two or three games. But of course, it's a different team that these guys are coming up and playing with now than what it was before. Like last season, if you brought a guy up, like who knows how he would have looked, because who knows who he's playing with or how the team is playing. I think with a little more structure involved, these guys that come up and step in have a better chance to show well, and they have indeed shown well. Because of that, there's better structure around them. It's a much more deeper lineup than it's been in the past. Even with Josh Norris out, this is still a deeper lineup than the Senators have usually had down the stretch in the last few seasons.
I could say one thing about Angus Cruikshank, who's been very good, getting a chance to play with Tim Stützle and Claude Giroux the last two games. And at Tuesday practice, it looks like he's going to be in that spot again for a third game against the Buffalo Sabres down in Buffalo. I would hazard a guess that is the greatest opportunity any call-up has ever received, getting to play with two Cal, because those two guys, you know, they're two of the best Sens players, you know, in history. So it stands to reason that as call-ups go, Cruikshank has been granted the best circumstances to try and showcase himself for this fall. So good for him. And so far, so good. He's looked very good on that line for a guy who is, you know, penciled in as a bottom six guy. Getting that opportunity to play with these guys at all is one thing, but when you're, what, 9 or 10 games deep into your NHL career, that's also kind of a shocking thing. Wanted to mention one other thing, though, and I wanted to ask you if this is even possible. I mean, I'm sure you don't necessarily know one way or the other, but I'm curious to hear what you think of it. So you've got a situation where this team needs a new head coach, and in all probability, he's a guy who's busy right now. Otherwise, you'd go get Craig Berube right now if he was the guy. I suppose, you know, you still want to talk to everybody in the offseason or whatever. You take your time. But if it is, in fact, somebody who's busy right now, say a John Gruden, would you have conversations, whether it's John Gruden or somebody else, if you've already made your mind up on who the guy is and you're just waiting for his season to come to an end and the Sens season to end? Are you having conversations with him right now about what might happen here? And maybe given that Jacques is 100% outgoing, maybe you say to John Gruden, is there anything you want us to work on in these final 12 games to get the boys ready for this fall? Is that level of collusion potentially happening?
Well, first of all, that collusion's a big word there, Steve. I don't think you're allowed to, unless the guy's unemployed. Like if it is a John Gruden, then you can't talk to him. He's under contract with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Most of the other people and names that are floating around are unemployed. You could certainly sit down with Jay Woodcroft. Heck, you could invite Jay Woodcroft to come watch a game with you up in the box, or Craig Berube, right, or Dean Evason, or whoever. McClellan. Kevin McClellan. I'm out to lunch. You know the guy, I mean, Todd McClellan.
Yes.
There are many number of guys where you could bring them in and have them sit down. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think it would affect the player's performance. It's too much noise, I think, would end up happening if it was public. And I don't know how you keep something like that private. But I don't think they would do that. And I don't think even if you were allowed to, I don't know that they would do that. Because as you say, if this is the guy you want, just hire him. And if it's some other guy, you can't talk to him anyway. So there's not much you can do.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
It was a tough night for the Edmonton Oilers in that they outshoot Ottawa 36-16 and somehow lose 5-3, kind of ruining a big night for Zach Hyman. Not totally, obviously. You score 50 goals. If there's an L on the score sheet, that bugs you in the moment. But big picture, Zach Hyman's pretty pleased about that. He has surprised everybody. Nobody in Toronto, for example, would have ever thought he was capable of 50 goals, even knowing he was going where he was going to play with the best player in hockey. But today on Twitter, some guy tried to burn NHL Twitter down with what I felt was a terrible take. It was a guy in Montreal. And what kind of miserable human do you have to be to diminish the accomplishment of scoring 50 goals in the National Hockey League? All this guy was saying, oh yeah, 50 goals and stuff, you know, but you know, the media is making too big a deal out of this. When they're talking about, you know, hard work being part of it, when in fact Hyman is, according to this guy, he went on and on. And again, Twitter went crazy, went on and on about how Hyman was from an extremely wealthy family and the fact that he had, you know, been blessed with the opportunity to play with Austin Matthews in Toronto and now Connor McDavid in Edmonton. What did you think? Did you have a chance to hear that?
I did hear it. I did watch the clown standing outdoors in the cold there, giving his little rant. You know, sometimes, Steve, it's possible that there are truths on both sides of the argument, and the truths are quite evident here. Yes, it's true. He was obviously apparently the son of rich parents, so who could pay for whatever he needed, off ice training, a special training during the season, in the off season, one-on-one instruction at rinks, whatever. And it's also true that he is a hard worker who obviously put in the work. At the same time, everybody works hard. Most guys in the NHL are hard workers. It's also true that, yes, he did play his career with either Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid. So that's helpful. But the other stuff is true, too. He has worked an awful lot, put in a lot of hours and worked hard to get to where he is. And lots of other guys have played with Connor McDavid. And I don't know that there's been anyone other than Leon Draisaitl who's played with Connor McDavid and scored 50 goals. Like, you still got to be able to finish. The guy still has to be able to put the puck in the net or he wouldn't be there. This is the National Hockey League, and you can work as hard as you like and you can be as rich as you like and you can look good for a game or two with somebody. But if it's not consistent and the effort doesn't stay there and the results aren't there, then you're not going to stay with the guy. He might have had some sort of breaks along the way that got him there, but he got there and he stayed there through hard work and through execution and through performance and results. He put the numbers on the board. It's not easy to score 50 goals in the National Hockey League, even if you are playing with Connor McDavid. And the idea that he scores most of his goals from in tight around the crease, so what? A goal is a goal. They all count the same. Whether you dangle the whole team coast to coast, or you have one go in off your ear, or you bang in a rebound on the third attempt, it doesn't matter. Goal's a goal. You got to go to the right place and get the results. And I just believe that all sides, there are different parts of this story from both sides that are factual and true. And that doesn't take away from anything in what Zach Hyman has still managed to accomplish. That's just my little rant anyway. And I'm not sure, but I think you're kind of on the same sort of page.
Well, I don't know. I agree with some of what you said there. I just feel like there's, because it's an attack on the media. He kept saying again and again, I'm not bringing the guy's name into it. It was an attack on the media. And I would wonder why you'd bother to do that, because while you're doing the attack on the media, you're also diminishing what Zach Hyman had accomplished. Like, I don't know, how many NHL players don't have well-to-do parents? You know what it takes to get to the NHL, or even, you know, all the AAA kids. There's not many low-income families that have AAA kids, let alone kids that go all the way to the National Hockey League. So there's kind of strike one from bringing that into the argument. And great line mates? Tons of guys have great line mates. There are tons of wealthy guys that have great line mates who don't come close to 50 goals. Mm-hmm. So it just bugs me, like, you know, boy, you must be fun at parties, dude. like, how about working a little grace into the mix? If you're up at the podium as an MC and you're presenting an award to somebody, you don't drag all that stuff into it. It's kind of a time and place. Like, Zach Hyman's not a different hockey player than he was a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago. You could have brought up any of this stuff then, but what kind of a miserable a-hole, like 48 hours after he accomplishes 50 goals, brings all this stuff into the fray? You've just told me that you're, as a person, you're just a miserable, jaded a-hole. The only thing that needs to be said at this stage is congratulations. What an accomplishment. You don't have to bring into the whole mix, oh, Zach Hyman, well, you know, the media is all dishonest on this thing. What are you talking about? Just because we're not being ungracious losers and diminishing what Zach Hyman has accomplished. And here's me, you know, with the back of a former Leaf on this thing. I could easily go down that road too, but I'm not, because he seems like a high character guy, good person. And he accomplished something really special, and only a jerk would choose now to bring up all this other stuff. Anyway.
Yeah. It was like the media's, oh yes, he scored 50 goals, but the media's talking about, a hard working guy, a lunch pail guy who goes hard to the net, gets his nose dirty and has been rewarded for all his hard work. It's like, that wasn't a good enough story. No, we need to talk about the other things, you know, like, oh, you're not discussing this, you're not discussing that. Those were factors, and they may be true, but that doesn't make the other side not true. Like, the guy did still work hard. The guy still did do what he had to do to get to where he got to. And if he didn't do it, he wouldn't have stayed where he was and produced the way he produced. It's when it comes right down to it, I stick with that. How many different guys have come into Ottawa over the years and looked good for a week or two, and then, oops, you know, they go back to normal. The guy's not exactly what we thought he was. Like your most recent example is Matthew Joseph. Look how hot he was when he first got here. And you would have thought, oh, this guy's a 50 goal scorer. He's going to play in the top line and be a superstar. Well, no, you know, he's probably more like a third line guy. And that's what he is. Like, you get your chance to go up there and perform, you got to do it, and you got to consistently do it night in and night out. And that takes work and heart and ethics and dedication and all those things. And that's what the guy brought to the table to get to where he got to.
Yeah. So you can just, if you want to see it yourself, you can go on X or Twitter and just put the name Zach Hyman in, and you will see what's going on, this one thing. And mark my thought, I thought of the great line about it. You know what? You've got to hand it to this guy. And he didn't bring up his name either. You got to hand it to this guy. He's managed to pull the entire online hockey community together, despite getting crushed and ratioed into oblivion. So that's sort of how it went for that guy today. It reminded me a little of, if you've ever seen Game of Thrones and the Battle of the Bastards, and you had Jon Snow there all by himself, breaking out his sword as 10,000 soldiers he has to take on by himself. That was kind of how this guy was after he did what he did today. With that, we'll take our leave. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, it is SensNationHockey.com. That's our website. Check that out if you could. Don't forget, again, we're encouraging a lot more interaction with you guys. We really appreciate you being here, and it'd be great to talk to you more. And also on the website, you can also leave a message. We've even got a voicemail up there. Then we play your, if you have takes on things, we can play your comments on the show. The Sens Nation hotline is there at SensNationHockey.com. You can email the program, SensNationHockey@Outlook.com. And don't forget about the hockey news, THN.com/Ottawa. Is there any chance that people have absorbed all that tech?
The bottom line is this, folks, there's lots of ways to interact. You don't just have to sit there yelling at your device and complaining about us. You know, you can email us, you can phone us, you can voicemail us, you can text it, you can leave it on X. There's any number of ways that you can voice your displeasure or your pleasure with what we're doing here. Thank you anyway. Regardless of how you feel, we thank you for listening.
Absolutely. And then that interaction could even include a guest shot. Like if you're on the Sens Nation hotline and you come across as, you know, solid and sound like you'd be a good guest, we'll throw you on. We'll even bring you on the air sometime. That's the level of interaction we're going to get to. How about that?
I'm in.
3 weeks from today, the Sens regular season ends. They're going to get, again, Buffalo on Wednesday in Buffalo. Kind of interesting, right? The Sens are about to head to their seventh straight playoff year without being there. Buffalo, on the other hand, almost twice as long the Sabre fans have waited. They're about to go to 13. That is just nasty. And then Chicago, Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks are here on Thursday night. I'm going to take that game in because I've never seen Connor Bedard live, and I'm looking forward to that. Cool. Greg, enjoy your day, and we'll talk to you soon.
For sure. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for being with us on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and review. Share the show with your friends and followers, or become a member on Patreon. Check out our website today at SensNationHockey.com.